All right, we will be working on, at this time, what I would like to call yesodis, fundamentals. Basically, the one problem I have with even Divrei Torah, I don't like giving Divrei Torah. I know that sounds very strange. Everyone loves Divrei Torah. What I don't like about Divrei Torah is a lot of times you can't really build yourself off of Dvar Torah. Somebody says a Vart with a Gematria and a this and a that. And you don't really, okay, nice idea, but they're not fundamentals, things that, the basics. We're built off the basics. There was a yeshiva that I went to where the rule was there was no Divrei Torah on Shabbos day in yeshiva. The Bachram had to prepare a Ramban and read the Ramban in front of the yeshiva and explain it. It sounds a little bit funny, and you know, I don't know if it will go over so well in many places. But the mila of it was, okay, now I know a Ramban. Now I know what I know. And this is why I'm giving another pitch for Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. You could do it however you want. Rabbi Wiener says even people, if they feel the need, they could do twice reading the Parsha with the English translation. And the reason is, what happens is, over the years, we slide under our like we're at a Shabbos table, and we're sliding under the table, like from embarrassment, that we don't feel like we know what's going on. And all we have to do is just open a Chumash and read the Parsha. We don't need Divrei Torah, we need just to get down the storyline and what's going on. And then we have basic Mefarshim, Rashi, which halavai we should know Rashi. If we all knew Rashi, we would know, you know how much of Shas we would know? Just for knowing Rashi on Parshas Mishpatim. Unbelievable. The amount of Baba Kama you would know from reading Rashi on Mishpatim. There are hundreds and hundreds of halachas just in Rashi over there. So we have to go back to the basics, and I would like to help with that, that I will not be giving Divrei Torah. I'm afraid that what might happen is sometimes you might be hoping that I could have something for you to say at the Shabbos table. Maybe you will, but you will educate the people at the table. You will not be just saying a Dvar Torah, you'll give a sheer Chloe in what's going on. So this is going to be our goal, and I'm very excited about this, because this is how we really build ourselves. So what I'd like to talk about today is something very crucial to our basic knowledge of Yiddishkeit, and that is the 10 Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. We know that there's a Mishnah in Avos, Perek Hei, that Avraham had 10 Nisyonos. 10 Nisyonos. Right? Now, we always teach here that the number 10 is very important. What the number 10, let's think of the 10s. We can do participation over here. How many things in Yiddishkeit do we have of 10? Asar Mamarim. 10 sayings of Hashem creating the world. Asar Sadibris. A minion. Asar Sime Tshuva. Whoa, we're good here. Makkas. Okay? Now, I would like to explain the significance. Who said Sviris? Shragi, our Hasidic representative over here. There are 10 Kabbalistic Sviros. Very good, Shragi. Okay. So let's begin by trying to understand it's not by chance that Avraham had 10 Nisyonos, that the world was created with 10 sayings, that the Aseres HaDibros were 10, that the Makkos were 10, that Aseres Yemei Tshuva are 10, that the Kabbalistic Sviros are 10. And that is, and I'll teach you, this is a klal in mathematics. It's a very easy klal, and it's from Torah Misinai. The number one is, obviously, there's only one. There's Hashem, right? But if you want to, you can't really understand the number one. It's like hearing a shir and the Rebbe doesn't break down the sugya for you, right? If he doesn't break it down for you, you're not going to understand it. So how do you break the number one into a sugya? What you do is you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 is not 1. Then you get to the number 10. 10, there's no higher number than 9. It's just a repetition. 10 is number 1 with a 0 next to it. And that's true around the entire world. It has to be that way. All the goyim have to follow this mathematical system. Do you know why? There's no such thing as details that are more than 9. 10 already takes all the details and puts them together into one shtickle. It takes number 1 and it breaks it down into 10. That's Shragi's Kabbalistic Sviros. When Hashem created the world, Hashem is one. But we're not one, we're many. So what did Hashem do? He created a world where you could see oneness, and that's through the number 10. You hear this? This is incredible. This is an incredibly deep idea. Mathematicians won't be able to tell you this. They won't be able to tell you why there's only 9, and then you go back to number 1 with a 0, right? That's what we do. The answer is because Hashem is one, but we can't relate to that. So what does he do? He breaks down the sugya into a new number 1. That's called 10. So whenever you have 10, Dovi, it is everything. 10 is one. It's seeing Hashem as one. So Hashem created the world with 10 sayings. Hashem taught us the entire Torah, basically. The Mefarshim explained that all the Torah was in the Aseres HaDibros, in one, which is 10. And Hashem did 10 makas to show us He rules the world. What else do we have? Aseres Yimei Tshuva. We build ourselves in 10 days. And Avraham built himself in 10. That's what he did. Just like the world was created with 10 sayings, so Avraham Avinu built himself with 10 nisyonos. He had 10 challenges in life that built him as a person. So this is the sugya we're talking about over here. There are 10 tests. Now, if we go over just what they are, it's not clear what they are. There are a lot of different challenges that Avraham Avinu had, and the Mishnah does not tell you the 10. Which means we have a big machlokas, what these 10 are. First of all, Avraham, he was thrown into a furnace by Nimrod. That was a test. Maybe yes, maybe not. It's actually a machlokas. Lech Lecha is a very hard test. He had to leave his home, right? He had to go to a land that he had no idea where he was going, correct? His wife, Sarah, couldn't have kids. He had to have a shifcha. Imagine, you know, marrying your shifcha, it's like, in order to have children after your Eishes Chayil, 10 years can't have kids. That's Hagar, right? He had to have a bris in advanced old age. That's dangerous, right? That's difficult. So old when he had his bris, all of these things. Then, once he finally got Yishmael, he thought he was building his family, Sarah says, I want her out of here. And I want the kid out of here. And Avraham was very upset. And Hashem said, better listen to your wife, right? This is one of the proofs that you have to listen to your wife. There are not so many proofs for this. But this is one of them. That you have to sometimes listen to your wife. Dovi, remember that. We have to listen to our wives. That was hard for Avraham. It was hard to listen to his wife. He wanted Yishmael, right? And then his nephew gets put into jail and he's got to save him, right? All these different nisyonos. What was the last Nisayon? What was the grand finale of all the tests of Avraham? Anyone want to take a guess? You have to scream because there are walls here. Akedas Yitzchak. That's beautiful, Max, but let me tell you, this is also a machlokas. And it's really, what do you want to say? Ooh, and Chaye Sarah, burying Sarah, might be the final test. What's your name again? Shimshon is saying that the last test might very well be not sacrificing your own son, but burying his wife. It was very hard. He had to buy a plot of land in the place that he thought was his own. So I would like to have a boxing match between these two, Max and Shimshon, right? We have a wall between you. But don't worry, because Chazal support both of you and Rishonim. There's a machlokas. Max and Shimshon are arguing with Gedolei Rishonim are representing both sides, and also Chazals. But let me ask you, no offense to Shimshon, but if I had to think of the grand finale of all tests, what would it be? Akedas Yitzchak, sacrificing your son. Not just sacrificing your son, okay? I hate when people say that. You go, ooh, a father loves his son. No. What was Avraham famous for? What was the thing that he was famous for, of all things? Chesed. He was the first Jew, that's true, but part of being a first Jew was that he was famous for, just like Hashem is a Baal Chesed, Olam Chesed Nibane, Hashem built the world with Chesed, it's part of being the first Jew, but Avraham was famous for Chesed. You know what that means? If you rip up Avraham, if you open his veins, you know what pours out? What pours out? Chesed pours out. So it's not like me. I'm a guy, I'm a redhead, I get angry sometimes, right? I know how to be a mix of things, right? So I'm a dad, But I, you know, sometimes my kids can press the wrong buttons. Actually, they're listening right now. You better behave. My kids are on the phone. But, no, you guys are all great, especially the girls. Right? The girls are the ones that are listening. That's how it works, by the way. The girls, they just, someone once told me, girls are the matana, are the present that we get. And boys, get us to Olam Haba if we can deal with them properly. It's a good part. Okay. Anyway, right, my girl's like, ah, well, can I hear your Dvar Torah in yeshiva? I'm like, okay, fine. My kid, my boy's like, pow, pow. Like, Abba, catch. Pow, pow. Okay. Anyway, so we have a major issue over here. What is the grand finale of Nisyonos? The man whose chesed, whose whole body and whole Meshama's chesed to sacrifice his child, is like ripping himself inside out. Not just a father, the father of all fathers. It's impossible for someone to do this, like Abraham. And he did it anyway. Not a regular dad. Abraham, who is the chesed of the Bria. So how can it be that Shimshon is quoting correctly over here, that there's a shita that says the last Nisayan is buying a burial plot for his wife? It's a difficult question, no? So I want to tell you a big yesod in life. And I want you to remember this, because we're dealing with challenges. That's the topic today. Nisyonos are challenges. Shlomo, this is a big yesod. A lot of times, the worst Nisayan is not the biggest one. Do you know why? Because when you get a big Nisayan, you know, I'm ready for this. This is going to be big. I'm not messing this up. Hashem is telling me to sacrifice my son. This is my big moment. All of Klal Yisrael is going to be built based on this. Right? And then, suddenly, he passes it. Woo! You want to do a dance, right? Who do you want to run home to tell when you do well? This is what I do when I finish my shmooz. You tell your wife, right? What happened to Abraham's wife? She got the news that her son was being sacrificed and she died because of this news. Imagine thinking you won, right? You're coming home, you're coming to tell your Rebbetzin, let's make a suda! And she's not there. That is anticlimactic, and now you're thrown off guard because you thought you went through that big Nisayan. A lot of times I speak to Bachrim, and like they're so excited they overcame a Nisayan, and then boom, right? We know about this. Hashem sends them another one. They're like, I thought I made it through. Sometimes the hardest Nisayan is the tiny one after the big one. You always have to keep on guard. It's unbelievable, right? Like when if you're a martial arts expert, right? You have to know how to make sure that no one takes you off guard. Right? You have to make sure there's nobody behind you upstairs. That's exactly the way the best Nisayon comes. If Hashem says, you should be makrib, your son, on a Mizbeach, that's difficult. It's big enough to save the entire Klal Yisrael, but there's a tzad like Shimshon. That the hardest thing is the day after that you can't celebrate, right? Imagine there's no celebration after winning the Stanley Cup. I don't even know, the guys would start, they would lose their mind. Nothing, like, by the way, that's it. Like, what, they'd have, the Canadians, you're masking or no?
Yeah.
Canadians are masking. Whenever it comes to hockey, I get nervous for my Amaratsis. The Canadians are gonna do something to me. Anyway, but that's the greatness of these tests. So if someone asks you what the 10 tests are, you don't have to slide under your chair. You say it like a good London. Machloikes! It's not clear. There are a few tests that are not clear. The first time Abraham sent away Hagar, before she had a kid, might be a test, might not be a test. The last test of whether or not finding a burial plot in Maris and Machpelah, which Abraham was promised this land also, and here he now has to wheel and deal with Ephron Achiti. This is not exactly what Hashem promised him. It's a test. But tests build you. Tests build you. So Abraham, as the father of the Jewish people, who was the one who was saying Abraham's the father of the Jewish people? Over here? Maybe I said it, I don't remember. But who said that? Shimshon again. Okay. So as the father of us, what does Abraham have to go through? The things that we have to go through, which are tests. Now listen to this beautiful diuk. In this Mishnah, this is from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. This you could say at a Shabbos table if you wanted Dvar Torah. Anyone who's interested, now it's time for a little Dvar Torah. But this is still a fundamental point. It says, 10 Nisyonos Avraham Avinu, our father, was tested. Okay, but if I look earlier, it says there are 10 generations from Noah until Avraham. It doesn't call him our father. The Mishnah right before, when it introduces Avraham, doesn't call him our father. But right away, right after, it says Avraham, our father, got tested. Do you know why? Listen to this gorgeous pshat from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was the Talmud Muvhak of the Vilna Gaon, and he said the following. He said, Avraham here is acting like a dad. What do parents do? Scientifically, what do they offer their children? DNA. Right? We look like our parents. We act like our parents. We're a mixture of our parents. DNA. Avraham was putting spiritual DNA into Klal Yisrael. Every time he made it through a Nisayon, he planted in us the ability as his children to have spiritual DNA to overcome that Nisayon. So, for example, Avraham being thrown into a furnace of fire by Nimrod gave us the ability to die al pi kiddush Hashem during the Spanish Inquisition, during all the pogroms, during all the times in Klal Yisrael's history where we had to decide, are we on the team or are we off? Why are we able to die al kiddush Hashem? Dovi, why? Because of our spiritual DNA that our father did it once. When your father does it once, you can do it too. Why do we love Israel? Now, this I have to be careful. I am not saying that we should be Zionists. However, everybody, even people who are not Zionists, should love Zion, should love Zion. Why do we love Eretz Yisrael? This Rav Chaim Volozhiner says. We love Eretz Yisrael. We all came here because we love Eretz Yisrael, correct? We love it. So why are we here? Because Abraham left his home. He had a beautiful home, and he went all the way to Eretz Yisrael. And that built a love for Eretz Yisrael. So we love Eretz Yisrael because we are children of Avraham. This was part of our spiritual DNA. Got it? Oh. So that's why Avraham here is called our father, because he's functioning as a father. Every Nisayon that he did, he injected us with kochos, with strength, to become bigger and better. Very good. Okay, so let's go over what we have over here. We basically said that 10 is a very big number. Who can explain for me why 10 is a big number based on what we said? Say it in a clear way. So what's your name again? Binyamin, let's hear.
10 is the way that Hashem allows us to understand
Hashem. That's gorgeous. Wow, that was like a philosopher. Binyamin, very nice. Now, how so? Why is the number 10 unique? Exactly. Essentially, it's a representation of the number one in broken up form. Isn't that a gorgeous idea, by the way? It's gorgeous. I'm telling you, the things that I'm telling you today, by the way, you can apply in thousands of places. The reason is because we're not saying it's Dvar Torah. We are saying Yisodos. This is something that is very deep, and if I wanted to, I could speak for 9 hours straight at least, I think. Maybe I'm exaggerating, or maybe I'm even underestimating, on this topic of, I think, more than 9 hours straight right now on this topic of 10 being the number. I don't want to try right now. I'm losing some people as it is. Akiva, wake up. It's Friday. Friday's the best day of the week. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Akiva, you sing a niggin?
Yeah.
What niggin you want to sing? Ki Lashem, no? Okay. So that's the number 10. Avraham Avinu was tested with 10 tests. He built himself, just like Hashem built the entire world through 10 sayings. Avraham built himself, and not only that, but, Kippi, he also built us as a people. Avraham Avinu did 10 tests to make us love Eretz Yisrael, be able to die al pi kiddush Hashem, maybe even, he doesn't say this, but maybe to listen to our wives too. The nisayon of listening to your wife. Because Avraham, what's that?
Throw it in there.
So maybe, listening to your wife, Avraham had to listen to his wife. To throw out his other wife and son, that was very hard. But we see from here the wisdom of the Rebbetzin. Okay, so let's continue for a few moments and try to understand. I want to teach you something from the the Maharal. The Maharal says that these tests are a little bit different. What's the difference between these tests and regular tests? He says that we have three avos, right? We have three avos. Why are these called avos? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What makes them fathers? What makes them unique? It's a hard question. Why are they fathers? Why can't the 12 Shvatim also be fathers? When do you stop being fathers and start being sons? We have three generations of fathers. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right? Not an easy question, but somehow these three people, right? Three is also an important number. Why is three an important number? Why not? Let's get this out here. Binyamin, we'll see. I'll test you on this later. Number three now. Why is three a very crucial number? Who said Chazaka? Very nice. Chazaka. Totally good. Why is three a Chazaka? Let's try like that. Now I want to get it deeper. Why is three a Chazaka? Three is balance. I'll explain what I mean by balance. There's a pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech says, Chut HaMishulish! If you have a string that's made from three, Lo B'Mehera Yinatik, it won't quickly undo. What's special about the number three? Listen to this beautiful idea. Three is balance. Balance means on the one side we have, on the right side, we have chesed, like Avram Avinu's chesed. And that's extreme. You know, give, 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 give. And on the other side, on the left side, we have what's called gvura, which is din, din, din. Yitzchak Avinu lived a very difficult life. He was sacrificed on the Mizbeach, basically. It's true he made it out alive, but he's like, be totally mevatel yourself to Hashem. Be totally mevatel yourself to Hashem. Don't do anything. Just be mevatel yourself to Hashem. So on the one side, we have Avraham, who's give, 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 give. Right? And we have Yitzchak Avinu, who's standing there, just not moving at all, being mevatel himself on the Mizbeach. And then we have Yaakov Avinu in the middle, who's the balance. He's called Midas Arachmin, Midas Tiferes. Balance is, I have a right and a left, and I have something in the middle. What's that?
I need another two.
Excellent. I'll tell you why we need the other two. Because this is, real balance, I heard this from my Rebbeim, is not just staying in the middle all the time. It's do a little bit of chesed, now do a little bit of gvura. Well, make sure to balance it. If there are times in life that you need to be an Avram Avinu, you need to be a Yitzchak Avinu, and then there are times you need to do something in the middle. We can't always be in the middle. If we're going to be in the middle, we're going to be boring, Dobie. We have to give like Avram, like a soup kitchen. More, another bite, right? Four entrances, wherever he's going. Yitzchak Avinu barely talks in the Torah. We barely see his personality. Do you know why? Because he's that amud of be careful, stay away from trouble. Din, din, din. And Yaakov is somehow a balance of the three. That's why Yaakov's called, according to the Zohar, a Yoshev
Oholim.
Who said that? Akiva? Who said that? Oh, I know you. What's your name again? Avrami said it. If I was writing grammatically, what does it mean to be a Yoshev Oholim? Translate it for me. What? Come on, that's too boring. David, what is a tent? Which tent? Torah! Torah, he dwelled in Torah. What, Binyamin? He went to Yeshiva. Can I ask you grammatically, what should it say? Yoshev Ohalim, or do you have a better way to say it grammatically? The word Ohalim, is plural or singular? Plural. It should say Yoshev Ohel, not Ohalim. So I'll tell you what the Zohar says. Listen to a Zohar. Dovi, go to the mikveh and come back, and then I'll tell you the Zohar. You have a mikveh here they use? They have one by Yochanan ben Zakkai over there. You ready? Or should I tell it to you in advance, and you'll be in trouble afterwards? Afterwards. Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak, but Yaakov was a Yoshev in two Ohels. He was Yoshev in the Ohel of Avraham Avinu and Yoshev in the oil of Yitzchak, meaning he carried chesed and din at the same time. That's why he's the balance and the tachlis of the whole Bria. By the way, that's why, Avi, he's the one who had, everything I'm telling you, by the way, is not Divrei Torah. These are all Yesodas, every single one of them. I'm telling you, is based on Gemaras, Midrashim, Zohars, Arizals. So we have to know all this. Why was Yaakov Avinu the only one who didn't have bad children? Of course his children did misbehave, but they were all big enough to be part of Klal Yisrael. You ever think about that? Avram Avinu did not have full nachas, right? He had Yishmael. Yitzchak didn't have full nachas. He had Esav. There was fallout. There was fallout. Yaakov had no fallout. You ever bothered by that? You know why? The depth of it, and it's not because the Yavos did anything wrong, was Abraham's midah wasn't fully balanced yet. And when you have imbalance, you have an imbalanced home. It wasn't his fault, because his job was chesed. But he had a fallout of, called Midas Yishmael. Yishmael was like trouble, fallout. Yitzchak was also on the other side, extreme. It wasn't his fault. He was supposed to represent that. But there's fallout. There's Esav. Right? There's Esav. And then Yaakov is full balance, so all of his kids were in the Shiftei Ka. When you have full balance, you can create the Shvatim. This is incredible. This is incredible. So we have over here, the Maharal says, Dafka the Avos need Nisyonos. These are not regular tests, the Maharal says. The Maharal writes this in his Perish on the Pirkei Avos. He says, Avos need tests because they have to climb up to being an op. How do you get to be a father of our nation? By going into overdrive. If you go into overdrive, do things that really shouldn't be, a human being shouldn't be able to do, you create the blueprints for our nation. So Dafka Avram Avinu had to go through tests that were incredibly unusual tests. He had no rest from Hashem. Hashem said he's going this way, now he's going that way. Hashem said he's promising this, he didn't give him any. You know, if you ever think that you don't have clarity in your life, just read Sefer Bereishis. You'll get chizuk from Avram Avinu. The most confusing life in the world was this man. It's much more confusing, David, when you're a prophet and Hashem tells you, you will have children that will build an entire nation. And then the next day he says, Abraham, you will sacrifice that child and not have any children. I thought, that's much harder than just not knowing what Hashem says. When Hashem says, Hashem, you just pulled a fast one on me. You told me the opposite yesterday. Right? That's much more confusing than us who just never spoke to Hashem. Like, when I get there after 120, I'll talk to him. He'll clarify the issue. But here, Abraham's whole life was total confusion. He built the Emunah of Klal Yisrael. He said, I don't need to explain anything. I'm just going with Borei Olam. And the Maharal says that all the Avos, all three of them, needed to have these types of tests so that they could be the fathers of our nation. Every day when we daven, what do we say? Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Why do we daven to the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Because they paved the way for us that we could succeed in life. So therefore, every day, three times a day, we call on Midas Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, so that we can be connected to Hashem. That is the idea of these Nisyonos. And there's one other person in history who's like an Av, this is a very hard one, okay? Who's like an Av of our people, except he's considered like the lowest level of the Avos. He's like supposed to be on the bottom. Does anyone want to take a stab at this? Who said David HaMelech? Shragi, once again, he said the Sphiros before. You're like my resident Kabbalist over here. David HaMelech is called, he's called Midas HaMalchus. He's something like an Av. Except, David HaMelech, it's the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Kuf Zion. David says, I wanted to say Elokei David. I want to change Shmona Esrei. I wanted to say Elokei Abraham. Elokei Yitzchak, what's your name? Yosef. Elokei, nice to meet you, Yosef. Elokei Avram, you're going to love this, Yosef. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and what is the grand finale? I wanted to say Elokei David. And these weren't people who were joking around. David said, I'm part of the team. I'm the first real legitimate king. Shaul was a king, but David was the first of the Malchus based David, which will bring Mashiach. He said, I want to be in Shmona Esrei. So Hashem says, not so fast. You weren't tested. Avrami, tested. You weren't tested. So you can't get your name in Shmona Esrei without being tested. What do we see? Our Mishnah in Avos is not small. Abraham was tested. Apparently Yitzchak was tested. Apparently Yaakov was tested. Right? And David says, let me be on the team and get tested. He made the biggest mistake of his life. You never tell Hashem you want to get tested. We always are supposed to avoid tests. And what happened was, he ended up seeing Bathsheba, he got Nisorer, he thought he was going to overcome, and he, lefi his madrega, not, Chazal say, whoever said David really did a chet is wrong. However, on his level, for sure he did something wrong, and he wasn't zocha. But David is also an Av, but he wasn't tested. David represents Bali Tshuva. People who don't get it always right, but they make up for things. Right? We relate to David. David Chazal say, Hikim Olo Shel Tshuva. He was the first of the Bali Tshuva. So, we finished here. Baruch Hashem. We discussed the Nisyonis of Avraham Avinu. We discussed why Avraham is our father, got these Nisyonos. Why there are 10 Nisyonos. Why there's a machlokes about whether the Akedah is the last Nisayon or Marasa Machpelah, getting a burial plot for Sarah, was the last of the Nisyonos. Why the Avos Bedavka perhaps were the people who got these Nisyonos, and why David HaMelech, even though he's part of this whole situation, because he wasn't somebody who was omitted in the Nisayon, he wasn't Zocha that Hashem's name is tied to him directly at this point. But David represents the you fall down, get back up. They made that into a song recently. I was like walking down my block, and like usually I'm listening to songs like da 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 da, and I was listening and they're saying, you fall down, you get back up, right? Yeah. Is that Joey Newcomb?
Yeah.
Nice song. Anyway, I find it depressing though to talk about falling down so much. It's nice to get up, but I think it's a little depressing to talk about falling down. It's just saying, you get back up, you get back up, you get back up. Okay? Maybe send them an email. It's much more. Now, if you keep saying you fall down in a song, it's sad. I'd rather sing you get back up, you get back up. Dovey, what do you hold? Let's maybe make a recording and we'll send it to Joey Newcomb. Anyway, why did I get onto that? Oh, that's because David HaMelech falls down and gets back up. David HaMelech represents our lives, which is we're not Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We're people who have challenges and get back up. And that we could still be in the ring, Dovi. We could still make Hashem the proudest. We could be part of Malchus Beis David. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.